Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a fun show today with Dr. Paul Moorhead, professor at MUM. And this show goes out to everybody around the world. So even if you don't know about MUM, Dr. Moorhead will tell you all about it. You're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Too many doctors today. All right. Anyways, today's topic is looking at the range of the mind. Fascinating discussion that we're going to have looking at what is the range of the mind and how do we take advantage of it and how do we not get lost in it. So how do we refine it to take advantage of that expansion, but also how do we not get trapped in the distractions of this entity or this part of the mind or this part of the mind. All right. So, Dr. Moorhead, so glad you're joining us today on KRUU's 100.1 on your FM dial. And if anybody's interested, you could always email us. We love to get your emails, which we've been getting lots of, and show topics, ideas, thoughts, anything you'd like. So, Dr. Moorhead, tell us about the range. Tell us who you are and what's the range of the mind.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's a real pleasure to be with you and your listeners today. Dr. Scott Harriet, by the way, is one of the most generous people that I have had the pleasure to meet. Whenever I see Scott, wherever it is, in Chicago or Fairfield or anywhere, his question is always, what can I do for you? How can I help? And it's that generous spirit that makes him such a great counselor and a great friend. So thank you for having me, Scott. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you
so
for that plug.
Thanks. I am Associate Dean of the Marshy College of Perfect Health and Marshy University of Management. And that is the wing of our physiology and health department that's offering advanced courses in natural health care, integrative medicine, and Ayurveda. And we currently have three or four different master's groups. We have three groups online, taking a three-year master's in Marshy Ayurveda and integrative medicine. And we have a medical school in the Caribbean where the MD students are also getting a master's in Marshy Ayurveda.
And hopefully to get a doctorate.
Yes, so you'd be an MD and MS, a medical doctor and a master's in Marshy Ayurveda, which is pretty complete training of health.
So it's really
so
looking
that's my
at... I'm sorry, go ahead, say that again.
So that's my day job. And in the evenings and weekends, I help my wife teach transcendental meditation in the Chicago North Shore area.
In Evanston.
Based in Evanston.
Yeah.
A lovely part of the world.
So you've got quite a full-on life happening for yourself.
It's pretty full on, and it's all fun, it's all great, and the key is always balance, which is what we'll talk about today, balance of mind, and I think that's the key for everyone, really.
Fantastic.
So let's talk about the range of the mind in Ayurveda.
But by the way, Paul,
yes.
if somebody's actually interested in one of these programs or finding out more about you and what you do, how would they get some more information about? I know we're broadcasting out of Fairfield, Iowa, so people here would know to contact MUM if they were so interested. But for people who are not here, because we have listeners literally around the world, how would they find out about you and meditation and all this other kind of stuff if they were so interested?
Well, for the university programs, go to our website, MUM, that stands for Marshy University of Management, .edu, www.mum.edu, and go to physiology, academic programs, and go to physiology and health. And that will list all our programs. We have undergraduate programs and graduate programs and the online programs. And then I'm listed under the faculty there. You can check that out. If you're interested in transcendental meditation specifically, then www.tm.org has all the information. And you log in, put in your zip code or your part of the world, and it'll tell you where the nearest teachers are.
So TM is in Tom Mary. So TM,
Tom Mary, yes.
TM.org. And I know that sounds strange as to people here, like, why would we possibly want to know more about this? But we, like I said, we got listeners around the world. And, you know, even if you're familiar with something, there's always new insights and expansion, just like the topic we're talking about today, where it's not just knowing the details, but how am I relating to those things? How am I relating to this technique or this tool to expand myself? So go on, Paul. Tell us about a little bit about this topic.
Absolutely. Thanks, Scott. So what's the range of our mind? Our daily experiences, we go to sleep and we have no mind, no activity. Then somewhere in that darkness, some dreams bubble up, some illusory kind of mental activity, which in Ayurveda perspective would be release of stress, mainly intention from the day, old impressions. And there could be also some indigestion, physiological processes could give rise, just like Ebenezer Scrooge thought he was seeing his ghost because he had a bit of undigested beef or hard potato or something. So dreaming is another state of consciousness, state of awareness, and the mind is that which is experiences in Ayurveda. The mind is our tool, our mechanism for experiencing the world. So on the one hand, we have the inner world, and on the other hand, we have the outer world. So once we wake up, we stop our dreaming and our sleeping, and wake up in the morning, and then a little groggy, still some remains of sleep. We get a shot of cortisol. I'm a physiologist, so it interests me how the mind and body work together. And then what you find is, as you wake up, the mind becomes clearer and clearer, and it expands more. And if you've slept well, and the mind is fresh, you've got a bigger perspective, a broader perspective on life. Those problems which seemed really big last night seem quite manageable this morning.
Hmm.
So it's interesting, the world can remain the same, but our perception, our assessment, our evaluation of the world depends on the clarity of the mind. And that in turn depends on the clarity of the body. So that's going to be the balance of the body and the nervous system. So that will be one theme today. So we're going towards expansion. And so we begin our day, our waking normal activity, we're thinking, and the mind is that instrument which thinks. And we're assessing and we're processing. And so the mind is our interface between our inner world and the outer world also. So the mind is really huge, actually. It goes from the depths of our sense of self, ego, which is called ahamkar in Vedic science, Ayurveda, the ego, the sense of self, the finest impulse of one's awareness in the relative field. And it goes through all the range of thinking, subtle thinking, deep feeling, then quiet reflection, then more concrete processing, then thinking about the things that we're experiencing, and then interfacing with our environment through the senses. So the mind stands at the gap or the junction point between the outer world and the sensory experience and our inner world, our consciousness, our feelings, our sense of self. So, and even beyond what we can perceive through the senses, the mind can expand to almost any level. You think about the moon, and the founder of Transcendental Meditation and Maharshi Ayurveda, Maharshi Mahesh Yogi, said, you think of the moon, and the moon is immediately affected. So our thoughts actually have power. Our thoughts have influence. Now, we know this from physics and measurement theory. If you're looking for an electron in the electron cloud, your attention in one area of the electron cloud increases the probability that you'll see the electron there. This is related to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle and also to the principle of measurement theory. So our attention, you know, you're riding on a bus or a train and or you're walking down the street and you feel like somebody's looking at you and you turn around and that person quickly turns away so as not to embarrass either of you because they were looking at you. So our attention has influence, and that's, so the mind has this huge range from the depths of silence to the expansion of whatever we can think of. It's quite remarkable.
And it's not just our experience, but I think the more important thing then becomes, you know, we really do have that in psychology, you know. We don't have to be cosmic about it to sit there and say, you know, you ever walk into a room where somebody's been fighting and you just know something doesn't feel right, you know,
yeah.
Or a bad thing just happened there and you know it. And you don't have to be cosmic to sort of get that everything isn't tangible. Everything isn't what's, we know everything because of our senses. In fact, our senses are often deceiving us. And that becomes part of the problem as well, of knowing what is it we really know. I had a client today, and she was talking about being depressed. And one of the experiences of depression is that you can't trust yourself because you don't know, for example, if you're hungry or if you're full. And so you're always either overeating or undereating because you're kind of missing the signal from your gut to your brain. And so how do we get that? And I love coming back to that notion, especially with you, Paul, of looking at the gut-brain connection, which there's more and more research on, of thinking, well, I'm just eating McDonald's or I'm just eating this food. It doesn't affect me, but it really does. 90% of serotonin is produced in the stomach, not in the brain. And when you think about if you eat something that makes you feel good, it does transform you. It does transform how you could think clearer. If you've had a good night's sleep, that range of the mind, that usefulness of the mind really comes in play.
Absolutely. So that's the mind-body connection. So just, if we're beautiful, Scott, very beautiful, we can be cosmic or we can be very concrete, and they're both actually completely practical and accessible, but we are stuck where we are. So the range of the mind, according to Ayurveda, is from the silence of consciousness, which we can experience in meditation, where the mind is still, but fully alert and awake and very orderly. This is called the transcendent or pure consciousness or samadhi, the source of thought. Very effortlessly experienced in TM. The mind is just calm and quiet and peaceful, but highly alert and more expanded. And that's associated with very coherent brainwaves, very orderly brainwaves, alpha-1 coherence,
And people could actually experience that. And even if you're a meditator that hasn't been experiencing it, there are ways to come back to that.
Absolutely. Yeah, very important. And to whatever degree the mind and body can settle down, because, again, the mind and body are always connected, but the simple practice of transcendental meditation allows the active, busy mind to settle down. So the range is from silence to that fine impulse of who I am, my ego, my sense of self. Am I this body? Am I these thoughts? Am I this colored hair and his colored eyes, or am I more than that? Am I my opinions? Am I my principles? And it's interesting that this is sort of the crux of Vedic psychiatry, or the ancient science of psychiatry or psychology, is what we identify as ourself is very crucial. I think this will be something we'll come back to. But if we just identify with this body, it's going to change. And that may or may not be so positive. But if we identify with the depth of our consciousness, that inner silence, that inner peace, which is a source of joy and creativity, if we can enliven that experience on a regular basis, then the ego becomes more expanded, more natural, more healthy, more comfortable in our skin. So we've got consciousness, we've got ego, then we've got the fine feeling level. And the ego is pretty close to the fine feeling level. Someone says something that's personal, it can pinch, or it can puff one up, because it's getting close to that finest feeling level of ego. But then there's the fine feelings. How do I feel about this? And this is our limbic system, our emotional brain, connected, surrounding the thalamus and connected to the hypothalamus. And all our thoughts and feelings, but particularly our feelings and emotions, powerfully influence our body. It goes both ways, body, mind, mind, body. So what we're thinking, and especially what we're feeling, our emotions, really changes the whole physiology, because the emotional brain communicates through the hypothalamus. Hypothalamus controls the whole hormonal system, the whole endocrine system, the pituitary gland, and all the hormones. And the thalamus is the master control, and it's part of our emotional brain, our limbic system. And it also gets signals from the thalamus and from the cortex, our thinking brain. So you've got feeling level, then you've got thinking level. Thinking is the processing. We experience something, we think about it, we analyze it, we mull it over, we consider it. Now, deeper than that, going backwards a little bit, from feeling, we have what we call the intellect. And the intellect is also crucial. The intellect evaluates what we perceive and what we think. And the intellect says, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing, I should do this, I should not do this.
Mm.
And if the intellect is unsteady or unclear or always focused through the senses for fulfillment, then the intellect can make a mistake. And that is the cause of all imbalance, according to Ayurveda. Even physical imbalance, all suffering is due to the mistake of the intellect seeking fulfillment only through the senses. And with disconnection, with not knowing one's true nature is that inner, silent, blissful field of consciousness, which we talked about is easily contacted through meditation. So if the intellect makes a mistake, we'll not evaluate the situation clearly. And this we can know from our everyday experience. When we wake up, feel fresh and happy, our intellect says, oh, I know how to figure that. I can do this, I can sell that, I can talk to this person, I can solve this. But when we're tired, we're feeling stressed, you know, we can make a mountain out of a molehill. And that's the intellect not functioning from its full potential. It doesn't mean we have to be a great mathematician to get through life. It just means the intellect has to be simple and clear and evaluate the situation for what it is, more of a realistic value. And this is the whole process of modern science. What is real knowledge? What is real? What is reliable? What can we use to make our life better? And science is not always on the mark in that, but that's the attempt, is because the individual human intellect may make mistakes. So we've got the ego, we've got the feeling level, we've got the intellect, we've got the mind, which processes and thinks about everything. The intellect actually makes the decision. So we get the mind, and then we've got the senses. And that's our five channels of experience, of evaluating, of gaining knowledge, of gaining satisfaction, of nourishment. Senses are fine. They're all right on their own. But again, if the intellect is seeking, and the mind and intellect are always seeking what? Greater happiness, greater satisfaction, greater fulfillment. Everything we do in life is expansion of happiness and fulfillment. We want to be better. We want to be more loved. We want to be more successful. All the things that naturally drive life in an evolutionary direction are due to that impulse of growth, of expansion. Yes, go ahead.
No, I think it's fascinating. I love how you're explaining this in such a clear way. And I also like how you said that it could go either way. So let's say you've been meditating and you're cosmic or your deeper experience, but you're not, you know, let's say you're doing this great meditation technique, but, you know, you haven't been sleeping, you don't exercise, you haven't been eating healthy, you haven't gotten the rest of your balance, your life in balance, then your deeper level of experience isn't going to be as fulfilling, and the body affects the mind in these deeper spaces, these deeper abilities. On the other hand, if you're stuck just in your senses and stuck just on what you see, and you keep having mistake of the intellect, as you say, Paul, where you're just think that I could do something, but I can't or shouldn't, or you think, well, these drugs won't affect me. This isn't so bad. This fight with my partner isn't so bad. I'll just ignore it. And we go through life ignoring things and ignoring who we are and how we really could transcend the senses to something much finer, much deeper. I think we also get lost. And so it goes both directions.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't confuse
Beautiful
that
analogy.
Too much.
Yeah, because the mind depends on the working of the brain to a point. And this is very interesting. This is a whole other topic. When the mind is just focused outward through the senses all the time, we get tired, we get frustrated, we got to have this job or we won't be fulfilled, we got to have this person or we won't be fulfilled, we got to have this money or we won't be fulfilled. And all of that is very tiring. It leads to action and to some achievement and fulfillment. But if it's just on the outward, depending on the senses and the objects of the senses and this relative changing field of life, it's always going to be changing. And it gets hard to, it's hard to get ahead and stay balanced. We have to take care of the physiology. So the key is balance. So mind and body and environment.
Absolutely.
There's three big fields of life and health, mental health and physical health. They all have to be in balance. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And since we only have 8 minutes left, I won't go into some other theories of how we talk about change, but I'm sure Dr. Moorhead will come back again and we will explore some other areas of change. But go back through, where do we go next with this? What do we how do we expand the mind? What else do we need to be doing next? What are we missing?
Very nice. Very practical, Scott. Well, life is holistic, and everything, as you said, impacts the mind and the body. So we have mind, we have body, and we have our behavior and our environment, and all of those have to be balanced. Our traditions all recommend certain paths of behavior that will save us from a lot of suffering. Our traditions, what our mother and father recommended and so forth, those things are guidelines. Our religious and cultural traditions, also helpful. But Maharishi Ayurveda has a whole range of knowledge of how to handle the senses, how to handle the mind, how to handle behavior, how to handle the environment. It's all part of the system, Maharishi Ayurveda. And MUM has not only a master's, but some basic courses, introduction to Maharishi Ayurveda, six-lesson course, very inexpensive.
Oh, and somebody could just do that online even, no matter where they're at in the world, couldn't they?
Absolutely. You can do those courses online.
Cool.
They are online.
Cool. Awesome.
So you can learn about this and expand your knowledge, but we have to take care of everything. So what we, wherever we are, we take the next step. So if we've learned transcendental but are not regular, recommendation is to get the meditation checked and be regular. Very important. If we're regular in meditation and having some experiences, but with some still lack of balance, especially in the mental field, then we seek professional help. We may need to see a nutritionist or a Maharishi Ayurveda practitioner for our physical health, see Dr. Scott Terry and his team, or a healthcare professional for our mental health, get support. And very important that we have a good routine of life. We have to take care of the body. So a couple things we can do for the body starting right now, this minute, today. The most important things are eat three regular, well-cooked, fresh meals a day, meditate twice a day, and go to bed around 10 p.m. or so. You know, if we're used to going to bed at 1 o'clock, then go to bed at midnight. If we're used to going to bed at midnight, go to bed at 11 and get that stabilized for a couple of weeks. And
well,
the target is... Yes?
We've certainly had many discussions here on the radio as well as with clients about my basic four, the big four, exercise, meditation, diet, sleep, or diet and nutrition. And...
Right.
Certainly, there are nuances to that. Like for diet, it's not just eating a healthy meal, but having your biggest meal at lunch, smallest meal at dinner, Again, not a big heavy meat meal with lots of cheese, and then go, well, why aren't I sleeping at night? Because it'd take a horse 2 months to digest what you just ate. So why do you think you're going to be able to go to sleep and then wake up refreshed and be able to focus? You know, and it's not that you should, in my world, be vegetarian or not be vegetarian or do or this philosophy or that philosophy. Again, it's finding the path. And I think Ayurveda talks about this, finding the particular kind of way your body works. They would call it dosha, vata, pitta, or kapha, and what works best for you. But the point is finding that. So today we're not going to give you all the answers, of course, because we only have 2 minutes left. But I want you, the point of all these discussions is not that we're right. It's that you find your avenue to you being right and more productive and powerful and make a difference in your world today. So find that balance.
Beautiful.
Back to you, Paul.
Very, very beautiful, Scott. Very important. We have to be practical about all this. So a nice, smooth rhythm of life, a joyful life, focusing our strengths, focusing on progress, putting our attention on growth and progress and knowledge. And knowledge is the greatest purifier. So gaining knowledge, as Scott said, to find your way. Knowledge is the basis of action. So if we're going to act more successfully, we need greater knowledge. So all these programs available at the university, online or wherever you're located. And I recommend listening to Scott's program on a regular basis. He has great tips. And we'll be back again soon, I hope.
Absolutely. And, as Paul says, it really is about the beauty of knowledge. But the knowledge also starts by learning how to maybe trust yourself again. Because like we talked about with the person who is depressed, who maybe can't trust herself. How do I learn to find a way? Don't go based upon what you had done before, because if something's not working, then something's not working. It's time to try something new. And so come back to how can you find that sense of self, that sense of balance for you today? And if you have questions for Dr. Moorhead, he'll be back. Just email us and we'll go through them. But, you know, look at what specifically you would like to get to that next stage for yourself. And maybe it's in the direction towards some higher level of being, transcending, going to a deeper state of calm and focus. Or maybe it's back to being grounded and balancing that. Or maybe it's somewhere different. Life is evolution. And how we can allow ourselves to keep evolving and growing and connecting to ourselves and the world around us is where our power and control is. It's not in something outside ourselves. It's not in our circumstances. It's not getting lost in the environment and what's happening, but what we can do with what's happening. So, Paul, last word to you.
Very beautiful, Scott. So life is full. Life is wholeness. Life is meant to be expansion of happiness. And if that's not our experience, then there's a new path for us. And we have the knowledge here at our university and through our Ayurveda and through health professionals like Scott to point you in the right direction. So let's work together to do that.
Time to find it for yourself today. Thank you so much, Paul, for being with us today. And we look forward to having you in again very, very soon. And everyone out there, be powerful today. Make a difference in your life and in the life of others. And by doing so and making a life different just around you, your life will get better as well. Time to make a difference today. Bye, everyone. Bye, Paul.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Paul.